interrupting the curate, neo-euchronio cricketism to bring you behind the woodshed. This is Cricketude Busting episode BTWRLM 499 for all you climately challenged, behaviorally controlled, energy-starved, pustulated crickets out there. I'm doing my best, folks. Trying to bring it along, trying to show us that we are not really that helpless, even though we tend to want to give that all up. I don't know why. This is the most jam-packed minute in radio for two solid hours for you. Break free. And I hope you appreciate all that. I was always wondering if I was on a network that took breaks, how little else I would say. Quite amazing what we go through each and every broadcast here. And we're going to return as I keep leaving things, players on the field each week, just so much to talk about. Astonishing amount. Last night as I'm building the tabs, it's just more and more news coming to fill in, and I just never get down the track. I'm going to go back last week for the, as I was bringing off and ending, and all this content even today was supposed to be together last week, moving a continuum of thought. I started with the interference of the kids and all that. We're going to end up partly there, and then I'll move on into breaking things that are going on, things breaking here in the notice to us as we watch the place crumble and watch the controls come in. We were talking last week about the strictest gun control measure in the U.S. and pointing out that it was a supposed faith-based attack on the Second Amendment. Essentially meaning, and we're going to see this faith-based attack in our lives. It's coming again. I've talked about it back in 2015 on another subject matter, which we'll get to here, but this one is literally on the Second Amendment. In the States, it's your own amendment, the right to keep and bear arms. I would look very carefully to also notice that you also have the right to alter or abolish, because I think that's the connection, part of the connection. But this is a faith-based attack that actually appears to have passed in the state. Which means a faith-based attack would mean that these people don't believe that you have a God-given right. And I would have to agree, because this is a secular thing. The constitutions are not God-given. They're man-made. And nevertheless, that said, the secular inviolable right, to the right to keep to bear arms, has numerous purposes as well. It's written in black and white what I tell you to rely on. Not just to say it, you have to be able to produce the right to do it, because you see how the Bar Association will tear all that up, and you got to learn how all the tricks that are being done. And at some point, people are going to realize, just as they already intuitively know, there is no actual justice, and the law has stopped being followed for a long time. I proved here in the Covey swindle that people will allow that. They didn't insist on their own law themselves to protect each one of us, each one of you. So those that you did, it's fine, great, appreciate that for yourself, but as a society, I'm talking about. So. This is a faith-based attack in Oregon on the so-called God-given right of right to bear arms. It's not. It's a secular, constitutional, inviolable right to protect yourself against the government. The people knew in the past that the government would be coming after them, and they needed a black and white reason for them to give themselves the permission to come back at the government to stop it. So keep in mind, just as we move along this faith-based attack, it's going to come up again. But I wanted to point out something I didn't have time to do, and this was so much to talk about. But so important here, you go to that state in Oregon that passed this, and they say you have to get a permit to be able to get the permission to buy a gun, and then you got to get, when you get the gun, you got to have a background check at that time as well. And these cost money. So I wanted to go to, though, and try to show you how you apply out of this stuff, how it's supposed to work within a state. I'm going to touch a couple things here real quick. If you go to their Administrative Procedures Act in Oregon at Chapter ORS 183, and you go to the definitions, there's a pretty quick proof here. I'm going to drop down to 5, 183.310. You get to the link in the blogcaster, or you could do this on your keyboard. Go right to the, go to the legislative website better, not just any other website, but to 183, ORS 183.310. Go down to 5. It says license. That's a term in quotes. Includes the whole or part of any agency permit, certificate, approval, registration, or similar form of permission required by law to pursue any commercial activity, trade, occupation, or profession. This is the administrative application of all the words and rules that the legislature puts out. They're saying that there's a permit that's required. This says that that word is a license underneath this rule definition, which the whole of the state has to follow administratively. When the executive starts to do something, it has to do it pursuant to these rules. This is where you're essentially, if you look closely, your due process is. In fact, if you go down, segue a little bit, go down to about 502, you're going to see this one of the statutes I use to show you that they're your savings clause. We're not prohibited by law, comma. If you don't understand what that means for you and how that protects you, then you're going to suffer the thing after the next comma, which is going to be the removal of your rights under the law and put underneath a non-governmental condition, essentially. And no due process first. They put the things like turn of dispute resolution upon you. Getting back up to this, license includes a whole part of any agency permit. This has been described as a government, a gun thing has been described as a permit. I want to go to the end of that statement and said these are all part of pursuing a commercial activity, trade, occupation, or profession. What in the Second Amendment is doing that? Is your first clue that this thing's all messed up to begin with and what your attack's going to be. There is no due process they can provide on something that's not underneath the auspices of the administrative procedures. And what is the contest? They actually have a definition for it. How do you challenge that? If it's relevant to you, is underneath the term 2A, contested case. Means a proceeding before an agency. You need to touch that agency thing. Go under in the Oregon, if you look around in these charters of all these counties around the country, look very carefully. A lot of these charters have like three statuses that a county can be in an authority over you because somehow they've just handed themselves the right without the law. And no one insists about the law, which is terrifying me a bit. None of you really will say, none. Look at these people. A lot of you, most of society, did not insist on law at all. No protection whatsoever. And if you walk into a society that starts out that way, however corrupt it might be, and you don't even try that, you got no protection at all. You become stateless in a way. You're going to have mindlessness here. No basis either. And no understanding to form a base. That's the clueless part. That's the terrifying part. But we have a suggestion for all these leaders that are allowing all this stuff around us. Maybe even though none of us will participate in protecting ourselves, 28th Amendment, should we force feed politicians psychedelics on live stream? Interesting proposal. A modest proposal. Forget diversity training. The times have never been riper for force feeding psychopathic politicians psychedelics broadcast over the web on a bi-monthly basis as a condition of their employment. Well, where these people are allowing this stuff to on our little ones and harma to come down on them, and us too, incessant advertising about all this, the promotion of a symptom over an infectious agent by the entire world to hurt many, many, many people irreparably, destroy society, set it up for further destruction. I thought this proposal was pretty cool. And this proposal comes when you start looking. I've never done a shroom, so I'm not even talking here by experience, but from the people that I have talked with or have heard talking about it, it's literally mind-blowing. It's perspective-changing. And the perspective apparently is in a good place. I'm not talking about the bad trip. That's not what your perspective is changed by. That is just a bad trip. That's maybe telling you something, too, maybe about you, maybe your environment. The use of a psychedelic is kind of an interesting thing. And moving it from a reefer madness idea, where it was promoted by the government, same thing with psychedelics, you find out that there may be some utility, and I'll use the word therapeutics, within doing that. And the apparent general sense is when you do psychedelics, for those that would tend to harm people, like a psychopathic politician, maybe it would give them a better, more natural view of the world and change their outcome. Their view of what the outcome is better than what harm it is. I thought this was kind of interesting. So I'm going to leave that right there. 28th Amendment, should we force feed politicians psychedelics? Why was I even thinking about that? Because it was one of those things like finding out the CBD, is it CBD oil for hemp and marijuana? There was something within that plant that actually helped people in great ways. That we now see that's what kind of broke over the condition for marijuana was really more hemp. I'm not qualifying one way or the other. I told us we shouldn't legalize any of that. my thought is leave people alone to do what they will. And we only control, we only protect and or give relief, remedy for those that indulge too much, and maybe present guidelines for how you don't, and make it so that it's more natural and normal instead of withholding it, like prohibition did to alcohol. You want to use more, go do more, make more money because now it's all something off limits. Maybe we should look more reasonably at what these things, these substances can do. And if we have a better mind, instead of getting depressed and had a better awareness, we might be able to communicate with ourselves more peacefully and leave to people what they need done. And so this moved our, that proposition of feeding, no, I didn't like the force feeding, but it makes sense anyway. I mean, if you're going to force feed the military and AI on robots shooting people and the cops can shoot you dead in the street, maybe we need to have some better control here. That seemed kind of an interesting proposition, but it wasn't just recently, though, that is not out of the line. Maybe those politicians need to go to Oregon, as my line of thought started to move along. It's legal to use psilocybin or magic mushrooms in Oregon, but that could soon change. And that was the other thing that happened recently here in the election, was that was starting to change. Not that they made it illegal, but that certain counties were not allowing it to be sold like they might have been for the pot. So for me, I'm kind of distant on that. A lot of people you want to do psilocybin, okay, that's great. But what got me really more was this nagging thought that veterans and people with psychological troubles, I don't know if it's psychological or mental, you know, troubles, PTSD and that kind of thing, the depression, now getting back to the young, not to give them the psilocybin that way. They shouldn't be brought there is the first point you do. What I'm saying is that we get to a stage where we're a little bit older and we have trouble. And then we're finding out that veterans are very well helped by psilocybin, not as a magic mushroom, but as a therapeutic. So I'll bring that word back in because this is what's important to me about how I saw, not that I was against weed. I just never saw it do much for anybody. But then I started, since the cancer thing and CBD, I started realizing, again, like I do appreciate in herbs, which I do, that powerful problems require powerful medicine. And herbs go from innocuous to kill. They'll kill you or they'll be nothing. And so this becomes a very private thing to do. That in Oregon, they did allow, in the state, psilocybin mushrooms to be regulated again and made them available. And that was a general statewide condition. In this article I have for you here, talking about someone who couldn't find help in a problem she had. She went to Jamaica to find out that it was lawful there to use psilocybin to help her problem, her depression. And reading down through the story, you say her next option was a remedy would be a remedy the commercial real estate profession never imagined she'd end up advocating, and one that, while considered a therapeutic and healing drug by a growing number of healthcare professionals, has come under fire in Oregon in next week's election, which was last week. Now, the therapeutic thing stood out because that's what happened in the marijuana, but it led to legalization, which should not happen because that's control. And then you saw what the nonsense that starts to happen and the big problems that start to go on. But the thing that caught me was the relative to the example of the making psilocybin as a therapeutic legal, regardless of the regulation, that it could be made available to people that needed it. And then found out that the election, the counties, people in counties were saying that they didn't want it. Voters across Oregon mostly voted against allowing the therapeutic use of psychedelic drug psilocybin on Tuesday. And while I'm not a participant in that, although I have been looking at mushrooms and looking at them as, again, a medicinal, as I got becoming more familiar with microdosing, it's more like a vitamin. You don't use it for the hallucinogenic or even detrimental effects that can come along with that. It's quite fascinating what a mushroom, all these mushrooms and constituent parts do, how you process them and all that kind of stuff, how you can shift the chemistry to take it away from a detrimental thing to a more positive thing, similar to what the THC and CBD oil, the CBD components are. You can shift those components. Pretty fascinating. To that extent, I'm interested. To that extent, I want to know what do these type of mushrooms have to offer if it's a vitamin level that you take. And interestingly, the vitamin level that you take in a mushroom because of mushrooms' collection of very rare minerals becomes very valuable in that regard, which offsets other health problems. The minerals that they collect are part of very important basic processes in our body. So that's the view I'm starting to look at over the years. I haven't had really focused time to do it, but that's my view on some of these things for the mushrooms. But other than that, I don't have nothing in it in myself. What I do have is, I guess, maybe the compassion to believe that if there's a plant out there anywhere, any type of plant that'll help you, and it does, maybe no one else has the right to talk about. You talk about a faith-based group saying that you don't have a God-given right because there is no God-given right, and I'm telling you, well, there's an inviolable right. You would have an inviolable right to go protect yourself in your own defense for your own health. Seems to be outside of anybody's rule that when I see this title, voters across Oregon voted mostly against allowing therapeutic use of psychedelic drug psilocybin. I'm wanting to know, who are these people that think they have the right to keep somebody from getting a therapeutic anything? And I'm back to my thought, who am I living around? Where are we as a society anymore? That we think there's an authority out there to interfere with an individual. If you don't support the individual, the least among us, if you will, you're not going to get to be able to protect the rest of us. So I'm a little bit almost insulted by the original title on the top of this was Oregon counties largely vote against psilocybin use. And I'd say, okay, they didn't want to have it. Then I rolled down to the next title and it used the word therapeutic. And that struck a chord with me, and a dissonant chord it was. Who are you, voters, to say that someone is not able to obtain a therapeutic substance? And again, we're talking therapy. We're not talking the misuse of it. Why aren't we giving everybody the right to do so on the responsibility they have to do so? My mind just went, who are these people in these counties? It says right in this article it's used to treat PTSD, severe depression, and substance use disorders. While on the other hand, they're allowing pharma, to do substance abuse disorders, notwithstanding the license they give the commercial trade occupation and profession that same state gives to the doctor to do so. And so for some of you who did, there was a couple counties who did allow it, and that's Jackson County and Deschutes. I should say that. So those of you that think you need therapeutics, I suppose, and the proposal for the politicians that need to be force-fed, I guess we're going to have a big deal going in here. When that amendment gets put in, they'll be going to Jackson County or to Deschutes County, and they will be force-fed there. And maybe on live stream TV, we'll watch someone's political aspirations to kill you and control you evaporate. Maybe that'll be something we can do. But who are we as a people in a society to stop our own help, but to help ourselves, is becoming more and more of an object to me to watch. In reverse, out there, you have people like the World Economic Foundation, you have the UN, you have all these other non-government organizations doing the very same thing, only they've figured the system out, and here we have, they're getting paid to do that. You won't, until you figure this one out. You're not going to understand much either, but this is that leverage funding thing, and they have no right to exist, they have no authority within the locale where you live, and yet they come out with their hand out to get you to pay them, and they get it through your representation that you're crickets on as well. UN wants $4 to $6 trillion to prop up its failing global warming program. The UN's global warming hoopla has nothing to do with climate, but rather they're stampeding the world into a sustainable development, aka technocracy. Virtually none of the goals have been met after already spending hundreds of billions in misplaced activities. The answer? Throw more money at it, except the UN doesn't have any money of its own, so it demands massive new funding from the sucker nations that already support it. And I'm going to say, in the locales where you are, your states, the leverage funding is coming after the sucker property owners and the taxation principles to impose these very same things. And this is one of the things we sued in 2013. Again, crickets, and that was a good time to get crickets from those that we sued. That's default. Good enough for me. I got that part proved. But these things, these people don't mean us good at all. It's a treason against us. It's going to destroy our way of life. It has. You watch what happened in the last few years. There it is. And then I got the UN's asking for that. And then I got this back to the interfaith. Again, faith-based, supposed faith-based opinions of imposition coming up to talk about at the same time here, COP27, the Solving Climate Change. This is directing us to the digital 10 commandments, they say, of Herod, and the UN promoting this new, say, call it 10 commandments. I'm going to take a wise counsel on this. I was told that it was actually the 10 commandments, because all these folks can actually do is commend something to you and for your acceptance. And when you all understand that and you all know how to stop that and just don't allow it, we're going to see a better world. I just tell you that locally, you're going to have to do that. That's all about the Great Reset. Remember, the title of the book was COVID-19, the Great Reset. That's this. I don't know how much more to say that, but the interesting thing about these articles now, we have what came through is a climate religion, Egypt's Mount Sinai to receive climate justice 10 commandments during UN summit, interfaith climate repentance ceremonies. If you don't bring UN summit, they're talking here that I talk repentance ceremonies. If you don't understand the unity that's talking here that I talked about in 20 Ukraine, interestingly, as we go back through that, we see in the couple of links here you can read, as we caught my eye, was the universality, the unity of this already that's working, but then the silence in something here, that the dates of the United Nations climate change meeting called COP27 on November 6th to the 18th in 2022, during the time on November 13th, 2022, a Chrislam, like Christian and Islam, Chrislam type group composed of leaders from the Roman Catholic, Eastern Orthodox, Protestant, Islamic, Buddhist, Hindu, and other faiths associated with Interfaith Center for Sustainable Development. You need to look at their logo. The Interfaith Center of Sustainable Development and the Elijah Interfaith Institute are making what they titled the Prophetic Call for Climate Justice, and are having a ceremony of repentance. Now, I thought that would have done it all by itself, but a ceremony of repentance on what is referred to as Mount Sinai in Egypt. Do this sound Gaia, mother, or goddess worship, or Christians supposed to have religious ceremonies with pagans? And so this is showing us this compression, this unity that I talked about years and years ago. It's now being developed. They're now talking about Chrislam. What I didn't hear in that Chrislam was the main, in Israel no less, was that there was no detraction from the Jewish religion, which we would have heard, I don't know how many, there should have been a roar coming out of this. Chrislam meets in Israel. It is fascinating to me, and the Jewish people, the Jewish faith didn't say that was some kind of anti-Semitism. Caught my mind. This interfaith unity, sustainable development, professing to you the 10 commandments of what life is supposed to be doing to displace those of you that understand a 10 commandments. And when you start to analyze how this works, you start to see how they have adulterated. Thou shalt not commit adultery, remember? They've adulterated this whole thing. And they gain favor. It's not much different than what the Catholic Church did to embrace the pagan religion and bring them underneath this Roman Catholic. Well, I also saw in that list that I read that they said the Orthodox religion. Now, that caused me, the Eastern Orthodox, that came up, because if you remember, we talked a bit about Ukraine, and I'm not sure how much I covered the problem in the Ukraine church and the schism that's happened there. Then it started to make more sense that I wanted to know whether or not this Eastern Orthodox included Russia. And I'm not sure how much I covered the problem in the Ukraine church and the schism that's happened there. Then it started to make more sense that I wanted to know whether or not this Eastern Orthodox included Russia. Because what happened in Ukraine was a schism between Russia and Ukraine. And then that triggered the idea, well, look what's going on with the Ukraine and the war, so-called war. And look where the United States positions itself relative to the UN agenda. And there's no distinction. Spiritual principles relevant to climate change. Interesting discussion. You go through it and see what they're saying. This is the Baha'i writing. And if you have to get your eyes to see on here. You have to see what they're talking about. They focus on anthropogenic climate change. And it says it's not inevitable. But anthropogenic climate change divorces itself from the sun. I'm not talking about Jesus Christ. I'm talking about the physical sun. Well, hopefully it's physical. There is no sun in this religion. It's only the harm of man. And they adulterate the language. And this is where I started to start looking at how the religion, this green religion, is co-opting other religions and bringing them in. And the very first story, I think, talks to the German Lutheran imposition that I told you was being healed up in 2015. They're now speaking. It took all these years to kind of get their stuff together. And then they only focused on Chrisland, in Israel, no less. And I'm wondering, where's the Jewish people? I'm complaining that's anti-Semitic, not to recognize them. Well, this is all part of the underlying thing. Remember, at the same time in 2015, the Pope was meeting with commit adultery. They adulterate the language to bring in how they're going to make it sound like it's the same. Multi-faith leaders to gather in Israel around the world for climate repentance. So I thought these folks would be repenting of their sins. That would end it for us. I hope that they figured that out. Maybe it will. But again, this is not an ending thing. It's going to be repentance forever until you are purified, I suppose, until you get the right mental attitude and whether your number and your carbon footprint is agreeable. The Jews to join forces with Muslims, Christians, Hindus, and Buddhists, citing security concerns, Egypt refuses to let the event held at the site believed to be biblically Mount Sinai. So the Jews were involved, the religion was involved, and yet they didn't take offense to having a meeting for Chrisland. But why? Because it's already been agreed behind the scenes that this is not those religions. This is a subversion of all those religions. And if you go through, okay, so people who are Christian are rightfully told to quote the Bible, whether or not that's fully interpreted correctly at times, my irritation a bit, but you go find the source. You don't speak from yourself. And you qualify as best you can what you see. You know, a lot of Holy Spirit's wrapped up in that to try and get that insight. But I saw no reference to the Bible where Christians would be involved. And then I found one reference. And that's where you start to see the adultery. They actually cite to the Bible. But they cite, if you look at it, they cite it, it's the citation in the Bible cannot be applied to the commandment that they are mentioning. And you need to look for that. And one of the things that this UN agenda wants to do is talk about stewardship. And what I wanted to point out, when I saw the word stewardship, it's been a problem for me because they also give lip service to the fact it's not just stewardship, it's actually dominion over the earth, and although that was given to another for a time, that we're not talking about stewardship in that capacity, that the stewardship that's supposed to be actually spoken about was the various graces of God are supposed to be promoted, not stewardship of the creation. And so I say that just to point out how subtle this deception is, that they integrate the various religious principles, and you'll see that in the commandments. You can almost see the originate from different religions to bring everybody together, to make it so it's all touchy-feely, we're touched together. I don't know how you talk in one, that there's one God, and then you're dealing with a religion that has many gods. How they're looking past that, I can't even imagine. However, getting back to the stewardship, but only find a couple times in the word stewardship, if you will, is referenced. And it was to advance the gifts given to one to advance the various graces of God, not control or not pertain to the creation itself. And so, again, getting back to these subtleties, this is the unification of the religion of the world coming on you. This is now being promoted as being so-called repentance that we all must do by supposed religious faithful, who I think the faithful have no clue, actually. Again, talking in 2015, talking about the healing of the Lutheran schism, that was pretty poignant to my mind. I don't know how anybody else took it. That we're here talking about it again in trying to unify this world into a religion, which will negate yours, whatever one you feel, even if it's not to have one at all. So be careful about that, and thinking that there's something that you have protection in that will get in that regard. But if you, again, the 10th principle, I won't read too many of them. It says, we are stewards of this world. Well, if you're a religion and you're a Christian religion, you're not steward of the world. You have dominion, and everyone wants to take that negatively. It's your responsibility to take care of it, if you will. And we are to go forth and be fruitful and multiply upon it. And that's what's given. We have not a stewardship of it, though. The stewardship was given to us from our gifts given to actually promote, if you will, to advance the various graces that God has provided. And I'm only bringing this up a couple times here to explain, for those of you, people don't want to hear this, but I'm trying to explain clearly and succinctly in one point that across many, that this is the deception that I've been talking about that comes on to take people away from their actual legitimate basis. I'm not here to advocate one or the other. I'm saying, listen, if you're going to be in anyone, you better look very carefully at how they're adulterating this thing in a way to make it look like you can unify. Now, we should be a unified people. But again, man makes religions and then adulterates them. And now what do we have? We have another problem. Why, if I can say there's one of the graces that we are supposed to use, the Holy Spirit, then you're cautioned to be careful of who's talking to you. There's nothing certain here. And so to try and make it certain, and then to adulterate the various words, and have inclusion that they pull together, that's contrary to any one of them, or the principles thereby, is nothing, I don't know what more to say, in that people allow this to go on, that you don't see this is what's coming on the world, that's driving this whole thing. And I told you this back in 2015 as I went through the proofs. I'm a little concerned, again, together with what we see, the mental controls that are going on, the ability of the technology to cause more controls, the lack of resistance in society, even for secular law to impose itself, is a lot concerning to me. So moving on about the consequences of allowing these types of UN sustainable development, interfaith sustainable development. Do you even know what they're saying there? It shows me that we have a society that, although some of us may want to complain about it, it's not right, this and that and the other, not really putting together how this thing is melding itself for the future they want, and we're not doing anything about it. But we're going to suffer the consequences and moving into those when you impose all this, because we are in repentance to our sustainable failures and the sin of the sustainability that we've failed to meet in the carbon footprint, we may see in the future the wrath of that God, where our fires from exploding e-bike batteries multiply in New York City, sometimes fatal. But because of the e-bike batteries and where their sources are being made, they're not necessarily the quality that you might expect. And one day you're going to be going down on your little bike because you're so engraved, because you got to go buy the bread that your little phone QR code will allow you for being in the good graces of the green God. Your bike may blow up between your legs or trap you in your apartment as you start to charge it because the battery's full. Is that part of your penance there? So there's a whole dynamic going on with couriers in New York relative to their bikes and the dynamic that COVID caused and causing them to have to go charge their bikes in their places where they live, their apartments, and the people not using the correct chargers. These lithium-ion batteries are very peculiar beasts. They need to be particularly charged. And so you mess up on that and it causes trouble to the point that you bring your bike home that you didn't necessarily do before the Kobe swindle, and you charge it yourself using any other charger, it could possibly blow up, and one guy died. He couldn't get out of his apartment because that's where his bike was stuck in the doorway, on fire, blowed up. So these are the hellfire coming as we run too quick on technology that we didn't need because someone out there says it's God said so. the other side of that other problem. As we move again, the consequence of moving through lab-grown meat and nuclear yeast vats, COP27 reignites the war on food. This is likely what it's all about anyway, when you get down to what you need every day. We're a week into this year's UN Climate Summit, COP27. This is what this interfaith people, sustainability, believe. This is what the religions of the world now are uniting to promote. But the various agenda plan to roll out in the back of what is coming into focus, none more so than the autumn offensive of the establishment's war on food. Today was an adaption and agriculture day at COP27, and you probably don't need me to tell you that what was on the agenda, a lot of talk of sustainability, innovation, climate-friendly production, and so on, and what they're talking about is actually advancing for the purpose of food security, the innovation, which means, those are code words, the innovations of food security mean getting rid of cows, is to institute synthetic food, synthetic meat, lab-grown meat. And if you think it's just over in COP27 and over there, news breaking, U.S. regulator makes landmark decision on lab-grown meat. A cultivated chicken product has been declared safe to eat, though approval for sale is pending. The U.S. Food and Drug Administration, FDA, has approved a lab-grown meat product as a safe for human consumption, making its first to receive a preliminary green light from the regulator. You go read through this stuff, there isn't any chicken in it. It's a bovine and porcine product. They call it a cultivated chicken, but it's an animal cell culture technology to take living cells from chickens and grow the cells in a cultured environment to make the cultured animal cell food. The finished product is described as in another memo as a coherent tissue of chicken, cells similar in composition and nutritional characteristics to conventional products. The material there, while the end product is meant to resemble chicken, its origin materials may include materials of bovine and porcine origin, in addition to cell culture medium components, and antibiotics, antimycotics, folks, according to the FDA documentation. Upside Foods claims that its cow materials are sourced from disease-free, risk-negligible herds. Pig components are tested for porcine viruses that could survive a human cell. Now, you tell me how you call it chicken when it has beef, bovine, or pork, porcine. Tell me how you do that. Now, that's free speech, I'll tell you what. But this is already agreed to as safe, not is safe, as safe by U.S. regulators. If you thought COP27 lab-grown meat and yeast vats discussion is not here, not viable, not happening, just someone's opinion. No, this is already moving forward. We talked about a lot of this lab-grown meat. It's coming. It's on its way. They're not quite ready to push it. But remember, I talked to you about the Atlantic salmon that was a genetic modified salmon. Yeah, it's in the market, folks. So I hope you paid attention to that one. I hope you saw that. Moved right in. Only took a few years, like I told you, because they got to kind of get soften up the market and soften up your mind. And then you go in, you show up, and that's the only thing eventually that they offer to you. So back to the question of those omitted were in Israel, but the Israelis don't argue that they were violated by anti-Semitism when it wasn't. They weren't included in the term Krizlin. We see this condition in the election. Why this became a question, I don't even know until I saw that they didn't complain about that, and it was on supposedly land of Israel, and that there's that influence behind the scenes that's allowing it. The article came up, the election was good for Jews and the Jewish values. And then you have to consider, what are those values? When you say that they were embracing the multi-faith destruction of religion, then I have to question this entire thing. Why is this article even speaking about the American elections being good for them or not? And then we look at the overrepresentation is not a good symbol, not a good sign, whether it's domestic or foreign. Then I have a link here moving on, again, this is the destruction of your religion. And I was, I think I found out there's also a provision that was cited to in one of these discussions of the quoting of the Bible. One of the examples was keeping the Sabbath, and that caused my mind to think of the Seventh-day Advent. And interestingly, it seems that the Seventh-day Adventist religion has succumbed as well. So how they're actually pulling all these disparate problems together is quite amazing. How they're being allowed, how they allow themselves, people allow themselves to be adulterated in their beliefs and their mind, their spirit, and their body is amazing to me to watch. We've lost the capacity to defend ourselves from these most obvious violations. I'm not promoting any one of them. I'm saying you've lost your ability to be distinct. You are no different than any of the other things they're pressing on the green religion side that is bringing down the technocracy, the technical controls upon you. Again, the link here I wanted to point out, I get the verse correct for those that would hear it. 1 Peter 4:10, on the term of stewardship, it's not the world that we're having to be stewards over. We have, for the stewardship, the word steward comes up at 1 Peter 4:10 as each, if I read this correctly here and have a cite it correctly, as each has received a gift, use it to serve one another as good stewards of God's varied grace. Is not serving the world. Who has the dominion over the world is a whole other point. And if you read carefully through all this documentation, they're not speaking to God at all. The God, the good God. They're not speaking to the mankind. They're speaking to the one who has dominion over the air and the world for a time. And where we get the distinction in stewardship here is Genesis 1:28. God blessed them, and God said to them, quote, be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth and subdue it and have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the heavens and over the every living thing that moves on the earth. Close quote. On the earth, folks. The world. Do not be in the world but not of the world. See, they've changed the terms. They've changed what the focus is. They're handing the power to something else over something other than what you should be focused on. I guess the rest of you can read as you will. You probably know better than me, those that are studied. But I read these words, I see that the unification religion and unity religion and the orthodoxy of the Roman Orthodoxy, which includes, if you now see the schism, includes the Eastern Orthodoxy, are adulterating the words to unify and bring on the things of the world and not of grace. I guess that's as much preaching as I'll do right there. However, continuing to see the politics behind this, the schismatics that sees Ukraine church as Bartholomew's council gets underway. This is an older story, but this is what came up in my mind when I saw the Eastern religion. I had a question, is the Eastern religion separated from the Russian? And that's going to be important because Russia is, I think, the example of what the Orthodoxy actually is. For those of you that want to forget about religion, this is what it's all about relative to mind, body, and spirit and where we're going. And when I started to see this, it started to make a whole lot more sense of who I'm looking toward and what I'm looking for. Partly because I know someone knows me better than myself, maybe a superior to me, certainly, without help. And I want to be able to hopefully give myself some protection about seeing that. So far, so good. So far, I think I see things. So far, I'm hoping that if it is the grace of the eyes to see and the ears to hear, I do have that. So this is the kind of thoughts that come to my mind. We're dealing with a super evil. I don't know I don't know what religion that fits in, but this is not cool. Not cool at all, if I could put it that way. And I'm watching the whole world of people succumbing to it. Not having I got rights, but that's it. That's the extent of how everything that we see. I've got rights. That's not going to cut it. But the schismatic sees the Holy Transfiguration Cathedral in Venezia, this morning as their schismatic bishops are gathering Kiev for the so-called unification council whereby Patriarch Bartholomew of Constantinople intends to create a parallel nationalistic church structure in the ancient Orthodox land of Ukraine. This creates a big problem, and I wanted to go back to this because this is consistent with what's going on with the United States influence in Ukraine. I now see why that was, what they did, the United States did, to break that, create the schism where Russia stands up. Patriarch Kirill declares Patriarch Bartholomew lapsed into the schism, and they separate. And this, I was interested in this because I wanted to see, I'm still looking at whether or not there's a connection in the religious side of this story, this condition that's going on. And there is. It's now consistent. There's a break. Eastern religion doesn't include Russia. And that's important to observe. And so, again, I won't talk more about this. Those of you that are interested, you may want, or you know, maybe even got an eyeball to this. You track this down, get these links, maybe start thinking about what's going on here. There's another level of play that I've been talking about that now kind of shows itself. I didn't understand what the schism was at the time. It didn't quite make sense to me. Now it makes complete sense. Where the Eastern Orthodox is now promoting the UN Sustainable Development, and the Russia isn't. That said, remember, I've said they're actually implementing, the secular side of Russia is actually implementing the global agenda with their own brand and their own condition. And part of that's their self-defense against the world in a different way. The Ukraine Orthodox Church granted independence from Russia Church, an article I found, it was granted independence. It's a whole lot more complicated than just that title, certainly, and I'm not going to be here to be an expert. I'm looking for certain indicators, and this is one that there was a separation. This patriarch, Bartholomew, is considered like the global leader now of the Orthodoxy, and yet Russia Orthodoxy is the most spiritually controlling. And so there's an interesting break, and this Eastern Orthodoxy is connected to Rome. And I'm not going to, again, there's probably people more versed than me. I just want to point out, I'm just looking for the details of what am I looking at? What's going on in the world? What's the deception? How do we avoid it? If there's not a deception, then we'd qualify that, and that's fine. But together with all of this, Ukraine now, and Russia, and the separation, and they even moved the spiritual house of Ukraine away from the Orthodoxy. And they brought it into this corrupt sense. We see responses coming back out of the UN, these multi-faith leaders embrace and under repentance for the sins of the green against the green Gaia, all this stuff going on. They also then have to embrace things like this story. Russia is giving the statement that was made by a UN official that Russia is giving soldiers Viagra to rape Ukrainians. These multi-faith folks are giving license to this kind of a discussion where it was stated that Russia is giving soldiers Viagra to rape Ukrainians. And yet we find out the UN envoy admits fabricating the claim of Viagra-fueled rapes as Russian military strategy. It was a lie. Another deception to push an agenda. And if you read why she did it, she pleads to be focused and blinded to what her duty was, which doesn't make any sense, and it's not correct. But this is what these people are. This interfaith embrace of deception is also embracing these other deceptions, which are bringing on to Russia, at least the public promotion, that Russia's doing things wrong, putting in your mind that Russia's soldiers are committing atrocities, and it's all a lie. The U.S. Special Representative Pramila Patton has been exposed for fabricating her claim that Russia was supplying its troops with Viagra as part of its military strategy in the Ukraine conflict. The widely publicized lie was recycled from baseless NATO and ATO propaganda deployed during its 2011 Libya regime change. So you see again the repetition of what works in what? The United States and NATO. And now again back to the Ukraine schism of the religious break, which actually allows the Eastern Orthodoxy to jump onto the deception of the multi-faith sustainability crowd, where the United States and its policies are pushing to go through on this global shift, this global transformation. It's hard to believe. Every time I say that, how is the United States doing this? How is the military agreeing? But watch. You know them by their deeds, folks. Watch. No, do better than watch, but, I mean, observe. Witness. And then you better start learning where to stand, because these people are well organized, way more, and deception is not even thought to not be used. Again, as I said, we're coming into the age of deception. I think this is it. Here, now it's found out. Russia's, whatever you believe in Russia, they certainly weren't doing that. They weren't doing war crimes, but that's what the West was wanting everyone to believe, and they did. And they want, and we want to ask, they want to ask, the UN wants to ask people, countries, to pay them trillions of dollars to continue this nonsense? The interfaith, those of faith, are agreeing to this lie, this deception? This, I don't even know where, what else do you say, but no, they're not supposed to, and that they are is certainly the problem, and shows that they're not genuine. But this is what we're buying into, this kind of nonsense. And for me, if Russia's bad, Russia's bad. The example, the evidence should be there. If they aren't, though, we should not produce a false witness, correct? Oh, no, but those interfaith people believe creating a false witness is great to embrace. Judicial Watch. Defense Department records reveal U.S. funding of anthrax laboratory activities in Ukraine. You want more facts, more problems. The United States government is putting right in the middle of that area a bunch of the bioweapons labs I've been talking about for years, and then was able to highlight a little bit more. You know, Judicial Watch announced today it received 345 pages of records from the Defense Threat Reduction Agency, DTRA, a component of the United States Department of Defense, revealing that the United States funded anthrax laboratory activities in Ukraine biolab in 2018. Dozens of pages are completely redacted, and many others are heavily redacted. The records show over $11 million in funding to Ukraine biolabs program in 2019. Now, is Russia wrong to ask about having them investigated? Is the Bartholomew, a global religious leader there, saying anything contrary to that? No, it's all politics, it seems. It's all a big show. It's a big deception. And religious leaders that are involved in false witness aren't religious leaders in the sense of truth, in the sense of what is true, is in the sense of what is this place, in the sense of God, in the sense of Jesus Christ. Whatever you might think or not think of what that is, these are the spiritual foundations for people. Again, if you got little ones that have got no foundation and they're going into depression, what do you think happens to you when you start losing your basis for why what you're living for? Do you think this is not an attack on you? So, the biolabs are now coming, the paperwork, someone who got involved jumps in, they use the request, the court suit or a FOIA request in this case, to get this information, keep fighting to get it, to expose the deception. So we can more quickly get to the point when you're finding these interfaith people, the UN, everyone's got their hand out for all this money, are all deceivers to bring on the world, essentially, on you. The world, not the earth, but the world. And I've been asking you, again, get off the track, the point about be in the world but not of the world is what I've been asking people to identify for themselves. As these lies continue, and so a bunch of liars are getting together to be liars. I don't know where does it stop? Why do we continue to listen to this? But on this whole time when we're seeing these conditions in the other dimension, the more prevalent, scary one that we were talking about, the nuclear threat, and upon a simple word could cause a destruction. And I'm hoping, you know, we're all hoping that there's nice, clear minds thinking about this. So far, there have been. This idiot in Zelensky in Ukraine comes up in this last week that there was against, all I can figure out, it's like a false flag that wasn't, but it was a false attack. That Zelensky states, after a missile hits Poland, a NATO country, invoking Article 5, maybe, oh, no less. Zelensky says he's no doubt that he insisted that the missile that hit Poland, a NATO country, was Russian, despite NATO and U.S. saying it was Ukrainian air defense misfire. and I don't even know if it was a misfire. This idiot, this clown, this danger, this psychopath in Ukraine, the one that he's asking for handouts and the government of the United States is handing them, notwithstanding the big red wave, and I hope, folks, the big red wave, I hope you didn't spend a whole lot of time waxing the board to surf that big red wave. I hope you didn't do that. But anyway. No doubt, said Zelensky, that missile was from Russia. This is a on the brink of, I don't know, this is the World War III mentality, suggesting that this had happened, that he had no doubt. He was shown to be a liar as well. And NATO continues to embrace him. NATO continues to embrace the whole condition. The United States continues to embrace NATO. The United States continues to embrace the UN with all these liars. You know them by when you see them, folks. You know them by their deeds. So this guy comes up and says it was a missile strike on Poland from Russia. I don't know how to tell you how dangerous that statement was. Luckily, and what's interesting, Pentagon says Poland blast likely caused by a Ukrainian missile. But then the seriousness of this was that this Lloyd Austin idiot says that it would be Russia's responsibility for that. It's their fault that happened, that Ukraine misfired their missile. So this is pushing the brinksmanship even further. To my mind, it's totally unacceptable. I don't know about y'all, but this is totally unacceptable. Where diplomacy has gone, well, it's gone. It's just gone. This is unacceptable, period. But this guy, Zelensky, lies. Luckily, the United States was there to actually look at it. They know the importance. I'm glad to see that they are knowing the importance. They're still sneaking up on that red line, if you will, on that thing that they're not supposed to do. They're still pressing that Russia is the problem. Again, to me, that they're lying once, they're lying everywhere. That has to stop. But this is getting so close that you're hoping people look. I saw an interesting story that said that they could see from satellites. They explained how this thing came down at the time the president was told, and they started looking at things. They could see from satellites that it was a launch from a Ukrainian missile, which was very interesting to me. It's like the eye in the sky looking over. They know what's going on. And so this thing is so important that the government of the United States came right out and said, no, it looks like it was a misfire from Ukraine. And then they, not so lightly, said that Zelensky has to back off on this rhetoric. And I'm suggesting to you that's how bad, how terrible this could be, how close this could be of a misstatement. And it's so bad that the government, now we're looking at actual journalism happening. AP forced to issue correction after erroneously reporting Russian missiles killed two people in Poland. The government propaganda machine could not let this get out and allow AP News to say that Russia killed two people in Poland. And this is this is stuff beyond. This is way close to problematic when the United States is now saying, no, you better not go there. It's like I told you, the Senate was told, you better not go there, relative to what you're talking about here. The State Department came in and said, you can't go there. You can't make Russia a terrorist organization. The United States came back and said, you can't say that Russia killed two people in Poland, even though they'd sure like to. It's how close this thing is. They came right back. The speed with which they understood this intelligence was pretty interesting to me as well. But I think it's something of great concern, because we also have in the news, congressional amendments open floodgates for war profiteers in the major ground war on Russia. Again, the military-industrial complex working, people in the government, your big red wave, it doesn't matter, the blue wave, it doesn't matter. They're both together. We have a Democrat and a Republican, Inhofe and Reid. They're apparently war hawks together. They're looking for wartime emergency powers to build up an even greater stockpile of the Pentagon weapons. The amendment is supposedly designed to facilitate replenishing the weapons the United States has sent to Ukraine, but a look at the wish list contemplated in this amendment reveals a different story. This is exactly what I told you. It was telegraphed when the Pentagon was doing its promotion. It looked like it was advocating more fear to the government to allow the appropriations of money to it. I said that last, I think it was last week, if not the week before. I said there was a news article, a notice to us that the Pentagon was doing that. The story comes out right after saying they're looking to do that. So this is a play. They're playing everybody. Now, again, the focus in Ukraine, all this stuff, the election cycle all happening, all this stuff going on together, and interesting timing structures going on. Also in Ukraine, we get this story, Ukrainian officials refutes FTX Ukraine money laundering rumors. Where'd that come from? This company called FTX is a coin, a digital asset, like a Bitcoin exchange, failed big time, big time. And there's a whole bunch of links I have to discuss this. I'm saying you need to research this because this is what's being used. This is, I think, a setup for the takedown. The more I look at this, is what the government needed in order to do the types of tight regulation I told you has been coming. That what they were going to do with the things called Bitcoin, the ones that were publicly traded, not the ones that were going to be governmentally imposed. But Ukrainian official refutes FTX Ukrainian money. What was that? Money laundering. The money was going into, from the governments, the United States government to Ukraine, was put into these FTX coin exchanges, into the FTT, which the FTX was running as their coin. And laundering it back through, and then there was an additional question that it was going back to the Democrats. In a story here, you can read FTX, it was a Democratic money laundering operation with a Wall Street dark money and PSYOP-19 pandemic ties. If you don't think all this stuff starts becoming pulled together, and I'm suggesting to you, be careful the one they're pointing out to you about. There are others that they're doing the same thing. Likely, and I'm agreeable that that's a, whether I have more proof or not, I'm agreeable that it could happen because I was able to see it when we talked about Uranium One, which was Oregon One. It started all in Oregon. Oregon One was that big, was the uranium problem that the Clintons were involved in, and the Democrats. And the Republicans, too, because I think they're all hedge funds that they invest in that they don't tell anybody about. They're in the know, you're not. So this is brought out that this whole FTX collapse was happened at the same time as the election. Started pointing it at things, and people have proofs, way more than I'm going to be able to do. My point on all this is to point out this new digital asset thing was coming to cause constraints on you. It was supposed to also give the power to the government to regulate what the digital world was going to be is for control on currency, essentially that your social credit brings up this idea, and that your life going into the third-party trust account to the Fed directly was the control. As this FTX story has its own condition, as I'm reading through it, I'm noticing it sounds like this is just an example of a run on a digital bank, what was happened to FTX collapse. But they didn't do things that they should have been. Gullible people, this is where the situation was, where P.T. Barnum met Eddie Bernays and old Uncle Sam. Again, people looking to be rich quick, they try to think that intangible things are electrons or something valuable. Billions and billions and billions of dollars, a million, I think, people were involved here to invest, all promoted by your celebrity sports figures, I understand. At least $1 billion of the customer funds missing from collapsed crypto exchange FTX CEO, second biggest donor to Democrats, is a story following this back through over and showing us this, why it appears that Ukraine is such a focus on money, many different dimensions of utility. As we then see, and I want to bring this now over, I don't want to talk to him about too much, but he's a humanist. So he's part of this UN thing. He's part of the sustainable development. He's part of the future of the technocratic connection. Musk has been leaning increasingly Republican, and now he's moved on his latest conspiracy theory about SBF laundering money for Democrats. Again, I'm not saying anything's happened. I'm saying there is evidence that it could have happened. My point more would be they are utilizing these tools to do money laundering. There's lots of people that do that, have done that analysis. I haven't quite been able to get to it. I was going to get to it this week in my like I told you last week, I was going to get to some finances and stuff, but there was so much more news to fill in this week that I had left on last week. I'm not going to get to it till next week about people who have done the analysis on how this money laundering actually works. But Washington turns up the heat now on the crypto darling, Sam Bankman-Fried, following FTX bankruptcy. I looked at the guy's names, Sam Bankman-Fried, Bankman-Fried, and said, what was in his name that might have given us a clue? This guy is involved with all the players in the world that we talk about and hear about right now. You'll see all of this when you read the stuff. He didn't support the condition the way he was. It was all a big promotion. Some would say, people say it was a Ponzi scheme. I'm not so sure this wasn't a setup for the takedown, because when this thing has gone so bad, the government now has the teeth it needs to jump in and regulate it and prefer its own CBDC, right? Which comes right in the news. Well, this guy is also connected, as all this is all interconnected, to the World Economic Forum as it's found. The WEF allegedly purges FTX partner page, but you Internet Archive brings the receipts. You can read it for yourself. The integration is what I'm pointing out. The use of this digital world to cause these things to happen, corruptions to be. They're talking about stopping money laundering. It's being used to do money laundering. They're telling us what's going on. We just don't know how it works. The collapse of FTX, what went wrong with the crypto exchange? They'll tell us what went wrong. What they're telling us is all the restriction that's going to be coming down to control the public side of the cryptocurrencies. Why I've been saying the only thing I can support would be a truly privatization, utilizing crypto as a, if you will, the value of exchange that you can do over the internet. That's it. Privately. No public stuff. But if you thought this was a joke and these people aren't integrated, there was an Twitter that came up. Next week, the New York Times, in partnership with WEF partner Accenture, is supposed to be hosting a live event with Sam Bankman-Fried. Sitting next to him will be Zelensky, Zuckerberg, and U.S. Treasury Janet Yellen. She'd be yelling at you. U.S. Treasury Janet Yellen, all on one committee. If you don't understand the integration of what's going on, essentially exactly what I've been telling you is going along. Crypto crisis continues. Here's the latest FTX collapse. These are on and on. These stories are on and on about what happened in this crypto arena. And I'm suggesting to you this is giving the government the ability to control it and then offer their own and promote the agendas. And what you're seeing here, you're not seeing the others that are actually moving. Again, more and more stories. Exclusive behind FTX's fall, battling billionaires in a failed bid to save crypto. You see the story between the cryptos, between the billionaires running this thing. Well, Musk is one of those billionaires. He wants to make this Twitter an all thing, just like China's WeChat, and I've got a couple links for that. This is going right down the path. Dogecoin surges on Elon Musk's Twitter deal. You know, I got the little drawing I made up, little graphic for the Dogecoin, the pilot. He's in his little flying cap. Yeah, this is supposed to be a joke. It's not. It's the future. Musk warns of Twitter bankruptcy as more executives quit. Well, he goes into bankruptcy, and then he wants to become Elon Musk details the plan to turn Twitter into a bank. Did you hear about what J.P. Morgan did? I'm not even going to get there. So this is like a big setup for the takedown. It's all going through the international agenda. It's all going through this big setup thing problem that we're walking into the transform world of the world. And I hope you're going to be able to step aside. I hope something I said today is enlightening. And I'll be with you next week. Tech Tips or Nature Weather.
Well, that's another lesson. I hope with today's information you can take it to those that misbehave. From behind the woodshed, leaving his mark on the beast, this is Hal Anthony. Till next time, journey with purpose.
can of whoop-ass feels like.
Son, you just opened a whole case of whoop-ass.